Time for Tiki Barber, NFL insider, three-time Pro Bowler. Good morning, Tiki. At least you don't have to make that decision.
Would you like to play quarterback for the Bills on Sunday?
Yeah, right. I think I could have done at least a little bit better than that. I would have tucked it and run instead of throwing some of those bad throws that he had on Sunday. That was just bad. It was hard to watch.
So I'm of the mind they got to roll with this. I think there's a credibility issue with McDermott to reverse course. I mean, we all can make a terrible decision and want to backpedal quickly, but it's the look and feel of what the locker room is. And we talked about this, you know, last week, and we didn't know this was going to happen. We had you on Monday, but it's a 5-4 team. Yeah, it looks like the boat's sinking a little bit, but you don't have to drag it down to the bottom of the ocean. And that's where it's headed right now.
Yeah, I agree. Look, there's a couple of things that you can't help but look at. And Brandon and I had this conversation on our show. And Brandon thought this was a great idea. I think it shows gumption. This is what Brandon's saying. I think he, you know, he needs a spark. But I'm looking at this saying, Nate Peterman, I mean, I know he had won a big game against Clemson when he was at NC, when he was in college at Pitt. But he's a fifth-round draft pick for a reason, right? Very few of them. Russell Wilson being the most obvious example that jumps out to mind of a guy who was a later-round draft pick who turned into a star. He's not the future. And so the only thing that I could think of was, well, maybe this has to do with Tyrod Taylor's contract. And you guys all know the details. When if he's on the roster by March, mm-hmm. it's a cap hit of $18 million. If he's not, it's only a cap hit of $3 million. And so in the interim, at least until they get to that point, they need to make an economic decision about whether or not Tyrod Taylor is going to be their quarterback or one of the quarterbacks competing in 2018. But when I look at this team, this is not a team that does that. A team that comes into a week 10 at 5-4 with a spot currently in the postseason doesn't start messing around with, well, what are we going to do next year? It creates a losing mentality inside your locker room. And trust me, the guys that were on this Bills team, they don't want to be saying, we got a rookie going for us, you know, now. Let's get behind him. They want to say, we have a vet. We still have a chance. We have something to fight for. But that performance was not encouraging in any stretch of the imagination. It was bad decisions on top of bad throws that just led to a ridiculous blowout.
And I get what players will say, that we play for the fans and organizations should do things for the fans. And I'm not, you know, Tim Tebow would have a job if you did things for the fans, but you can't do those things. You have to make hard and brutal decisions. The problem here is there's just no buildup of acumen. This isn't a Mike McCarthy, and this isn't a Jim Harbaugh where he says, hey, when Alex Smith gets healthy, I'm sticking with Kaepernick, because there's no resume. There's no history where the fans go, hey, okay, if you bench Philip Rivers, I understand that you've made good decisions. This is so new, and for McDermott can't come back this week and go, you know what, we've thought about it, and kind of the playoffs are important. Tyrod's back in.
Sure, he can.
No, yes. He can't.
Oh. No, he can't. You're right. That's exactly what you're saying. Let's not forget, Sean McDermott is a defensive coordinator. You know, he was a good one down in Carolina, all right? But I mean, even if you looked at that team, that wasn't, yeah, we had this quarterback that was being developed who was, you know, a great drop-back passer, and I learned from watching how Cam Newton, that's not what he had down in Carolina. He had an athlete. He had a guy who completes 54% of his passes, but runs for 120 yards every 2 weeks and scores 15 touchdowns with his legs on the ground. You can't look at Sean McDermott's resume and say you are qualified to make this decision and know without a shadow of a doubt that it was going to have the spark that's going to lift us out of this little bit of a slide that we were going on with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. And right now he is stuck. Right, he can't go back to Tyrod Taylor, because if he does, then everybody starts to question his decision making. He becomes that flip-flopping head coach, which don't last long in the National Football League. I mean, Bill O'Brien, notwithstanding, down in Houston, who couldn't figure out his quarterback situation forever, and you see the mess that they're in now that Deshaun Watson is hurt. And so it's a bad precedent to start his career on. I know that you might not love Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor gives you the best chance to win, and it was painfully obvious yesterday afternoon that that's the truth.
All right, so by the way, when you were searching for your fifth-round quarterback, I would have gone one more. I might have gone sixth round, might have given you Brady.
Well, we all could go there. Yes.
All right.
Brady is the worst example.
That's right.
Because he was actually really good. He just didn't play in college because of his stupid coach, who
Drew Henson playing.
Henson
right.
Needed some time as well.
All right. The Bills' defense. What about that? I mean, they've given up 135 points in three games. Everyone points at the quarterback, but the defense has been really bad. Why? Why so bad?
Well, I mean that's the answer, right? That's the problem with this Bills team. It's not that Tyrod Taylor's been horrible. It's just he's been in tough situations having to come back, and he's kept them mostly in games except for the last couple. And you're right, it is the defense. And you saw a bunch of, you know, the tweets and social media about Tyrod Taylor when this all went down this past week, coming into this weekend. It was like, well, if Tyrod Taylor, you know, wanted to keep playing, he shouldn't have let the Saints rush for 300 yards. Or the week before, let the Jets, of all teams, rush for 194 yards. And it continued again today. 440-something yards or 30 yards that they gave up defensively to the Chargers. And that's not counting the countless interceptions it just gave point-blank field position to the opponent because of Nate Peterman in the first half. And so as much as we want to put blame on the offense here in Buffalo, it has been the defense. And the reason, I think, stems back to the Marcel Parrish trade. There's certain guys who, and I think we had this conversation last week to an extent, certain guys who are just, they're just pains in the asses, right? They're just, they're mean, they're effective. They may not necessarily be perfect, I put that in quotes, for authority or your head coach, but you need them. They're anchor guys. And when you get rid of them, somebody has to fill that void. And that void isn't filled in Buffalo right now. And as a result, defense or offensive lines are doing whatever they want to this Bills defense.
Us three, Tiki Barber joining us, by the way, Brady and Price, as he does every Monday in the 8 o'clock hour, 8:11 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So the Sunday nighter gets away from you know, the Cowboys last night. But I'll tell you what, at halftime, Dallas must have gone in up 9-7. No linebacker in lead, no left tackle in Smith, and obviously no Zeke. And they should have felt good. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles were running into a lot of brick walls. Tiki, I've never seen, and you can probably think of an occasion where it's happened to you in a good way and a bad way. I've never seen a team roar out of the gate in the second half and do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, like the Eagles offense did the second that ball was kicked off in the third quarter. 30 straight points.
Yeah. No, you're right. And it started with the first drive. It goes, you know, 75 yards, and, you know, obviously touchback, 75 yards right down the field, touchdown. You're like, okay, now it's your turn to answer, punt. You know, all right, you punt them actually pretty well, you know, deep into their own territory. What do the Eagles do? They go 90 yards and go score a touchdown. So before you know it, two possessions took about, I don't know, what, 10 minutes, and you're down 23-9. And then, all right, Cowboys, let's answer. All right, Dak Prescott, we've been pumping you up for so long. What do you, 5 yards and a five plays and a punt. And got another decent punt inside the 20. What happens? The Eagles go 85 yards.
Yeah, they didn't give him short fields, did they? They didn't get him from turnovers, and they didn't have short fields. They just mauled them in long drives.
You're right, and this is the advantage of having quarterbacks as your head coach and your offensive coordinator, because, you know, it's the proverbial, you know, halftime adjustments. Quarterbacks can do that because they see it all, and I think Carson Wentz helps because he's a smart young player who can communicate what he's seeing and what's being done to him very effectively to his head coach, who is a former quarterback, and Doug Peterson, his office coordinator, right, Frank Reich, who is also a former quarterback. And so they can come out and make adjustments. All right, we need to do this. We need to run the ball to the edges more. We need to, you know, get some quick hitters. And as a result, you saw what happened. It was 8 plays touchdown, 5 plays touchdown, 11 plays touchdown, and just completely dominate. Then you get a turnover, a fumble that turns into a touchdown, and before the Cowboys could blink, they ran 15 plays and they were down by 30 points. It's really hard when you have a team that is as explosive as the Eagles are, and you spot them drives without answering them, and that's what happened to the Cowboys. They you're right, they felt good going into halftime.
Oh yeah,
but they did nothing in the interim to come out and try to find a way to win this game.
Now, the Eagles were one of a few teams that won games against good teams yesterday. Impressive victory. Certainly Pittsburgh's victory on Thursday night against Tennessee and how they looked in that one. Minnesota over the Los Angeles Rams yesterday. I mean, they look like they'll be trouble down the line, even with Case Keenum as their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, at some point we have to stop taking that, I don't know, that snark out of our voice when we say Case Keenum, because of how well he's playing and is consistent. Like last weekend, he was amazing, and you know, he threw those two bad interceptions on back to back plays, and his coach even said so, and he knew it. This week, you saw him not getting cocky when he was having success, and just relying on the people around him. And he had some good ones. Latavius Murray, we forgot that he was there, obviously, because Dalvin Cook was there. And when Dalvin Cook got hurt, Jarrett McKinnon was a good substitute runner. But once Latavius Murray has gotten into his groove, he's been fantastic. 95 yards and the two touchdowns. And then when you have Adam Thielen, who is, I mean, easily the most underrated great wide receiver over the last couple of years in the National Football League, not just his team, but the National Football League, anything big can happen, like that 65-yard touchdown that we saw him catch a hook and make a guy miss and steam his way into the end zone. Football is easy for quarterbacks who we don't have high esteem for when they have great talent around them. And Case Keenum has great talent around him offensively, even though we only want to really talk about their defense, which is fantastic, as we saw they destroyed Jared Goff and got into his face and hurried him, even though they only sacked him two times. So their offense has talent, just like their defense has talent. Now we're just finally talking about it.
Tiki Barber, our guest, Brady and Price, give us a little bit of your thought on Kansas City in your backyard yesterday, losing to the Giants. It's not a game. I mean, there are, oh my goodness, there's Andy Reid, there's Alex Smith. There are the guys we know who just don't, you know, end up elevating. And these are two pretty long careers, but it was all hell on wheels with both offenses yesterday. It was a slog. And by the way, the Chiefs defense are the next team that probably gets Nathan Peterman at Arrowhead Stadium. So that'll go well. But Kansas City, I still going to win their division probably. And probably a notable favorite against the Wild. That's just the AFC, isn't it?
Yeah, the AFC is really weak this year. There's not a lot of teams that you can point to and say, well, that team is fantastic. I think you mentioned it before with the Steelers. Their offense got on track on Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans. And if that's who they are, which is what we thought they were, then the Pittsburgh Steelers are a viable contender in the AFC, along with the New England Patriots, obviously. The Jaguars, they're hit and miss sometimes, right? Their defense played phenomenal. And they obviously had a big win. Not big, but they had found a way to win against Cleveland, who hung around for most of the game because their defense was stellar. But do I trust Jacksonville's offense with Blake Bortles in the postseason against the Pats or the Steelers, even the Ravens? No, I don't. Or even the Kansas City Chiefs. But you're right. You look at the AFC West. I mean, the Denver Broncos, who we thought was going to be competing again, they're sitting at 3-7. They lost six games in a row, and a lot of them haven't been close. The Raiders can't figure it out either, even though they played down in Mexico against the Patriots, so you kind of got to forgive them a little bit there. The Chargers, again, they got Peterman. And the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they've hit a little bit of a wall. Not a wall in the sense of, you know, fatigue and attrition as the year goes on, but a wall as it pertains to huge plays. Remember at the beginning of the year, it was like 50-yard run. It was 67-yard touchdown. It was Kareem Hunt doing whatever he wants out of the backfield as a receiver. And Travis Kelce, you know, presenting more like a wideout than a tight end because all these big plays he was making. That stupid shovel pass. I mean, how many times did we see that thing go to success? Well, as you get about halfway through the season, all of that tape has been seen by defenses and by defensive coordinators. And so unless you start coming up with some new wrinkles, guys know what's coming. And so the Chiefs have hit a little bit of a stagnation because they haven't reinvented their wheel. And defenses are finding ways to stop those things. I mean, Snacks Harrison, they blew up that little stupid shovel pass and got an interception off of it, right? And so I don't know if it's fixable unless their playbook is more expansive than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And that's why we've seen them lose four out of their last five.